Once upon a time, there was a man and he was pushing a cart on his way to market. And he wasn't the only one pushing a cart on the way to market that day. There were dozens of people pushing their carts full of things, with apples piled up high, with pears in great big piles, with all kinds of things in huge baskets, all on their way to market they were going, all on their way to market to sell what they could in the hustle and the bustle and the rush of the marketplace. But the strange thing about this man, the strange thing was that he just had on his cart one thing. And it wasn't a big thing even, it was a small thing. It was a tin. It was a rusty old tin. And not just a rusty old tin, but a rusty old tin with nothing in it. Yes, an empty, rusty old tin, and he was pushing it on a huge cart on his way to market. And his fellow stallholders, they were looking over at him pushing his tin on a cart like that and saying, "What are you doing? We normally see you pushing all kinds of things to market. I've seen your cart full of potatoes. What's with the tin this week?" He said, "This tin is special. It's all I need to sell today. If I can sell it, I'll be rich." They pushed their carts a little bit closer. They said, "Tell us, what's in the tin? What's so special about it?" But he wouldn't tell. He wouldn't tell. He said, "I'll only reveal the secret of this tin to someone who knows its true value. And I'll only sell it to such a person, and it needs to be someone who's very, very rich." Well, they got intrigued, and they all went to market talking with each other and hustling and bustling, and soon the gossip was getting out, and soon all around the market it was travelling that there was the strange stallholder with the tin, with all he had was the tin. And when he laid out his stall that was as big and wide as any other stall, which could hold hundreds of potatoes or carrots or apples or pears or whatever it was that people were selling, and he just had this little empty tin, why, the gossip became a hubbub, became a throng of people around his stall saying, "Why are you only selling a tin?" He said, "It's magical. It's all I need to sell today. If I can sell it to someone who knows its true value, I'll be rich." "But what's in the tin?" "Nothing," he said. "Yeah, but what's the magic?" they said. He simply repeated that he would only reveal its magic to someone who knew its true worth, and that was none of them scumbags standing round ogling and ogling and oogling about what he had in his tin. "So go away, the lot of you. I'll be waiting for the one who truly knows what they're looking for." Well, it just so happened that that day, the princess was in the market just for entertainment's sake, of course. Just wandering round, looking at all the pretty things to sell. The great big balls of wool, the lovely fabrics. Looking this way and that way at all there was to see. She was just a little girl, you see, and out there with a governess, of course. A governess who was watching over her and fussing over her, who had an assistant, of course, who'd watch and fuss over the governess just to make sure that everybody was just being fussed over just like they ought to be. And there was the princess all walking nice and dandy all through the crowds, and it was a little bit of a crush. And although she was kind of sure of herself, she was nonetheless not sure of her golden ball. Because foolish though it might seem, she had brought her golden ball with her to the market. Although her governess had pleaded, "Please don't, it's so precious, you might lose it," there she was in the crush and the throng of the people. And although they made way for her somewhat, there was an awful lot of people there, and it wasn't a lot of way that they could always make. And so although she was being careful, there was one time as she was tossing the golden ball from one hand to the other and trying to catch it, that it slipped through her fingers. Well, that wouldn't normally be a problem. It's just that when it slipped through her fingers onto the floor, it was soon covered in legs and feet and people walking this way and that and rolling. It went under a stool and then it was really lost. Why, then there was a commotion of all commotions. Then there was a hubbub of all hubbubs because the governess was shrieking, "Where's the ball?" And the governess's assistant was fussing over the governess and saying, "The governess wants to find the ball!" And the princess was crying, and everybody was suddenly all very alert to the princess's presence and making all kinds of space and doing all kinds of helping to search for this lovely ball of hers. But although stalls were turned over, although people were making all kinds of way for her, there was no golden ball anywhere. No, not anywhere to be found. Nothing. But it was just then. It was just then that a sound could be heard. It was just then that a most unusual sound could be heard. Chink, 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 chink. And all heads turned and all eyes squared upon the man who sat there behind his big stall with his little tin, his little empty tin in his hand. And he was shaking it, didn't sound quite so empty now, shaking it with a chink, 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 chink. And soon there's another crowd forming. Soon there's a very different kind of crowd forming round his stall. And the princess is there and the governess is there and everybody's watching as he's a chink, 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 chink in that tin in his hand. And someone says, "What's in the tin?" And he doesn't answer. He just looks at the princess and he says, "Would you like your golden ball back?" "My golden ball is in the tin?" said the princess. And he leans forward and he opens the lid. And the princess gasps, because it's true. There's her golden ball sitting ever so sweetly, as lovely as you like, sitting there and shining in his rusty old tin. "How did it get there?" she said. "Did you steal it? Did you find it and put it there?" He said, "Oh no. This tin has magical properties. Whoever owns it, should they lose something, they need only look in the tin, and there it'll be."
"But that's magic," said the princess.
"It is," he said.
"How much for the tin?"
she said. And then it was like everybody fell over at once at the price that he named. 1,000 gold coins," he said, without blinking.
"What?"
shrieked the governess.
"What?"
shrieked the governess's assistant, and everybody else swooned and fainted at such a price like that. "I'll pay it," said the princess. And she turned to her governess, who turned to her assistant, who turned to...
"But that's ridiculous," said the assistant. "It's ridiculous," said the governess.
"I'll pay it," said the princess, "out of my pocket money." You see, princesses are kind of rich, and it was really a small matter for her, although it could have bought up the whole market. And before long, before anyone else could object, she had paid over 1,000 gold coins. And chink, 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 gone away with her precious ball in what seemed like an even more precious tin. Well, the princess was keen to try out the magical properties of this tin, and she wasted no time. A few days later, she went walking in the woods. And it's a little bit hard to lose something on purpose. Of course, if you know that you're losing it, you know where it is, and so it's not really lost. But she did her best anyway, walking along with her precious ring that had come from her grandmother, who had been a queen, you should know, walking along through the forest. And that precious ring, she was just letting it kind of dangle over her knuckle and onto the thinner part of her finger where, well, the truth is, it would be just kind of dangling off and hanging off. And if she just relaxed her fingers, it would fall down into the long grass and then it would be lost. So she did her best to try not to notice the moment when that happened, and just swinging her arms this way and that and walking along, almost dancing through the long grass, there she was, and she just relaxed her hand and off went the ring, and she pretended not to notice where it had gone. It was all a test, you see, if she could find the ring in her magic little tin. But no sooner had she done this, no sooner had she realised that it had been quite a few moments since she'd last felt the ring on her finger, and she went back and started looking for it. Oh dear, she started to think,
What if I can't find it? Or what if I've been tricked? What if that man was a trickster and a charlatan and I'll never get my ring back and it's somewhere in the long grass and I've been a very foolish little girl? Well, she searched and she searched. But the truth was, she'd done her job too well. She truly had lost the ring, had no idea which tiny piece of long grass it was in now. Soon she'd searched so far and so wide that she'd lost track even of where it was she'd been walking. The ring was lost.
Oh, what am I going to tell my grandmother? Oh, what am I going to tell my mother? Oh, I'm so foolish, I'm so stupid. What will I tell my governess?
But although she was scared, she was also quite excited. Because what if, just what if, the box was really magic? And the ring was inside. Why, that would be a miracle. That would be a miracle. So she ran all the way back to the palace, and she ran all the way up to her room, and she threw open the door and dashed to her bedside, to where she had this little table full of all her most precious things. And there, snatching amongst them, she found the little tin, and she shook it. Do you know what happened? It went chink, 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 chink. And with her little fingers peeling at the cover, she threw off that little lid, and inside, what do you know, there was her golden ring. So it wasn't a trick. He wasn't a charlatan. That box was truly magic. Well, from that day forth, the princess used her box whenever she'd lost something. Whenever she'd lost something that was precious to her, she'd go up to her room and shake the little box. And there it would be, just sitting there, waiting for her. And because of this, there was very little that she really ever lost. Well, by and by, she grew into a young woman. And when she had come of age like that, why, something strange started happening, which is she started taking a bit of a fancy to young men. Young princes, to be precise, who'd be invited to balls at the palace, or she'd be invited to their palaces, and all kinds of dancing and flirting and flashing of eyes would be happening, and soon she'd fallen head over heels with probably the most dashing and handsome of the lot of them. The only problem was, although she was head over heels, and although she loved him very much, and although she made sure that he found out about her love for him, he married somebody else. And the poor princess, it seemed like her heart was breaking into 100 pieces. And for days after that, she sat and did nothing but stare out the window and feel an incredible sadness. Her governess came to her one day and said, "What is the matter?"
"My heart's broken," said the princess. "I have no will to live. I feel like I've lost all my happiness, hope, and joy."
And the governess sat with her and held her hand and cried a little too at how sad the princess was. But then her face began to brighten and a look came into her eyes that suggested she'd just had a very clever idea. "Princess," she whispered, "have you thought of looking in your tin?"
"What for?"
said the princess. "For your will to live? And your happiness, hope, and joy."
But they wouldn't be in there," said the princess.
"Well," said the governess, "you just said you lost them, and I know they're precious to you. There's nothing to be lost by looking." Well, although she thought it was a rather silly idea, the princess went to her tin. And what do you know?
When she opened the tin, she found 4 butterflies inside. One for her will to live, one for her happiness, one for her hope, and another one for her joy. And these butterflies, they flew into the air and they landed each in one of the 4 corners of her room. And from that moment forth, she forgot all about the silly prince and she got on with her life and never thought about him again. Well, for the rest of her life, if ever she lost something that was that important to her, she always found it in her tin. One time, for example, she'd lost all her courage. She was faced with a big challenge and simply didn't feel she had the courage to face it. And once again, it was her governess who said, "Have you thought of looking in your tin?" And she went to the tin and she threw open the lid, and there inside were 2 gold bracelets. And when she put them on her wrists, why, she was so filled with courage that thing that had been daunting her, it seemed like the easiest task in the world, and she did it without thinking twice. Well, she had a very happy life, and it seemed like there was nothing that she couldn't get through, nothing she couldn't accomplish. Until, as an old woman, she sat and she looked back over her long and happy and successful life. She didn't have her governess anymore. The old lady had grown old ahead of her and was now dead. But she did have her favourite grandson, and it was her greatest pleasure to sit with him on her knee and talk to him about all the things that she'd done with her life. But one time they were sitting together and she realised something quite disturbing, which is, although he was asking her to tell her more about her life, she couldn't quite remember things as well as she could before. It was like she was losing her memory. Well, she didn't say much about it to start with, but it kept on happening, and stronger, until one time she said to the boy, "Do you know what? I think I'm losing my memory. I think I'm losing memories of all of my life, and I can't remember things that happened to me anymore." And the boy, who was quite clever and knew all about the little tin that was magic, he said, "Grandma, why don't you look in your tin?" And her face brightened up as bright as a button, and she said, "You are clever." And they both went to the tin and opened it up. And you know what was inside? Pictures, one after the other, of her life, like a photo album that you could sit in front of and work your way through page by page. And that's what they did. And as each picture came up, she'd remember it perfectly. And she'd tell her favourite grandson all about it. All about it. But as time rolled on, as time will, she became older and older and weaker until one day she said to her grandson, "My beloved, I feel like I'm losing my life." The boy, his face round, his eyes wide, he said, "Grandma, why don't you look in your tin?" Although she was old, and although she was feeble and her body ached, she nonetheless smiled and thought, "Well, it's at least worth a try." She went to her tin and she shook it. But this time there was no chink, 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 chink. Rather, there was the sound of birdsong. The sound of birdsong that seemed to come from a faraway land. A land that she very much wanted to go to. And she said to her grandson, "My beloved, I am leaving now. I'm leaving on a long journey, and I won't ever be coming back." And the boy cried, and she took his hand
and she pressed into his hand the little tin. And she told him that if ever he wanted to remember her, he need only shake the tin, and he would feel her close. And before long, she'd laid down, and her soul left her body and flew like a bird to that far distant land that only people can travel to when it's their time to die. And when she'd gone there, the boy cried very much for her. But after many days of crying, he took the tin and he shook it. And suddenly in his ears, he heard birdsong. Birdsong that came from that far-off land. And he felt his grandmother's presence, as if she was so close she could hug him, as if her arms were around him, as if she were right there. And from that day forth, whenever he wanted her, whenever he needed her encouragement, her strength, her presence, he would take her tin, shake it, and she would be with him.